The computer's going haywire on Oren.
Hey, man, Coach Mark Richt, we love him. He weighed in on the controversy, Mike, at Texas. And listen, a blind man saw that that didn't look right, okay? We all know that. But Coach Richt was saying, and this is a direct quote, if you're going to make the call, make the call. And if you blow it, you blow it. He's talking about the officials. Do you feel that way? Like, hey, keep the call where it was. And if it was wrong, it was wrong. But you made the call.
Yeah, I mean, look, I get it. We all, at the end of the day, want the call to be right. And the SEC is saying, well, we got it right. No. Time out now. You know, there's no transparency. How did you come to this? You marked the ball for play. Time is running off the clock. I mean, that call was made. You adjudicated. That's it. Because there was a delay, and that precedent is awful that was set by the fans going nuts with the bottles and such, but you didn't do it by the rules. You made a mistake, yes, but you're supposed to ball the move. The game continues. You're not supposed to stop, and now there's a new set of rules that's never happened before in an SEC game, especially one of that magnitude. That's why it doesn't jive for me. And I think, I agree with Richt. Yes, we want to get it right. If you want to make, you know, pass interference reviewable, then put that in the rules for next year. But you couldn't do what you did in Texas on Saturday.
No, yeah.
We fixed the glitch.
I agree totally. And listen, Coach has been doing this a long time, and he's had some, you know, if you do it long enough, you're on the ends of both sides, right? You get some bad calls, you get some good calls. We had just never seen anything like that. Georgia Athletic Director, we mentioned Josh Brooks, who at one time was the football operations director at UGA,
right,
when Richt was the head coach there, issued a public statement saying the exact same thing. That if you make the call, this is where you got to be. And then, of course, he was very careful, Mike, because, you know, he understands the College Football Playoff Committee and the ADs involved. And he said, look, being the AD of Georgia, but I thought he stated it in such an eloquent way that you couldn't refute what he was saying about that whole situation.
I'm with you. And by the way, Coach Richt, you can still go online. Just Google Coach Richt with Parkinson's disease and Crohn's disease, because he was speaking at Kirby's press conference last week talking about that to bring up the cause that obviously we all want to support because he's such a good dude.
All right, real quick, while we're talking about this, a scenario, and don't say it won't happen, and don't laugh, and don't say, oh, well, that will never take place, because it could.
So, Roddy DeBalzi, who does a great job covering George Bulldogs, I saw on his Twitter page today, and he was saying, look, you know, what if you take it back to that moment when you've got the offsides play? You remember, guys, Tyler Simmons was not offsides. Georgia is up 13-0 in the third quarter. He blocks a punt in Alabama territory. Remember the scenario for guys who don't?
For sure.
Back in the 2017-18 season, the 2018 national championship game at the Benz. But now, if you had the – imagine if Georgia fans saw the replay on TV, and whether it was student section, whoever was anywhere in Mercedes-Benz, starts chucking stuff onto the floor of Mercedes-Benz, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to clean it up, and the SEC refs, well, maybe all of a sudden we don't have that second and forever play that gets converted because Alabama's in too big a hole to dig back out of. It's one of those I get it. I know Bama fans are going to say blank you on that one, but it's still the same argument holds true. If you're going to give fans an opportunity to act like a horse's butt, but the refs now have a 5-minute delay to maybe get something right, did they get it right?
Yeah. I don't think we've seen the last of this. And you know, everybody's talking about the fine Texas got, $250,000, it's pocket change. I mean, come on, let's be real. You're not going to find every student body member who threw something on the field, Mike. They'll find some of those kids and they'll say, hey, you can't come to the games. That's part of this. But at the end of the day, you're telling me this is not going to happen again now? Like, if there is a significant enough call with the pressure that is mounting towards this college football playoff, whether it's in the playoff or before, I feel like now fan bases are smart. They understand this. Kids are smart, Mike. They're going to be like, you saw what happened in Texas. Right. If we get a bad call today, we're throwing stuff out there.
Now, again, how many Texas fans, those kids actually did lose their tickets? You may have seen the memes. And not
very
a meme.
Few.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's a handout speeding tickets at the Indy 500. You're not going to get everybody out there. But for those who don't remember, guys, it was actually Bama. It was a false start on that play, and then they would have moved the ball back. Georgia does get the ball, but gets pinned, and nothing happens. So I just felt, you know, I thought Roddy brought up a great point. There's moments now where the SEC, guys, these games take forever. The SEC officials take forever. I know the NFL is trying to keep it around 3 hours, 5 minutes, Carl, but are you cool with giving coaches unlimited challenge on everything? You get two per half.
It needs to be
I'm not
done.
Saying two for the game. I'm saying you get to challenge two for the half, because whether it's the SEC or the ACC, let's call it what it is. The college officials aren't as good as the NFL officials, and we have enough problems with the NFL officials.
Yeah, this is where it needs to go. And again, we need to have, whether it's a committee that says these plays are reviewable, or the coaches around the conference say these are the plays we want reviewable, it needs to happen. There's just too much technology out there for that kind of thing to happen. And then you feel like these guys are getting together and talking about it, and somebody's like, psst, come on, I didn't see anything.
No guarantee that's going to still fix things, because Lord knows we have a long TV timeout for the targeting, and the refs still get it wrong.
This is true, but it makes you feel better. You'd feel better about it if we were a part of the process. You didn't feel a part of the process when those guys were meeting in the middle of the field at Texas. You didn't hear what was going on, and we certainly didn't see anything. If they show a replay, Mike, and they're showing us as fans, hey, this is what we're looking at least I feel a little bit about the process.
Right. I just think when it comes to targeting, and again, that's going to require the NCAA really taking a long, hard look at it. If the offensive player, if a running back or wide receiver with the ball lowers his head, then have matching penalties. They offset.
Yeah.
And because sometimes I think it's the defensive player who can't react in time to what the offensive player's posture changes, and all of a sudden now it's head-to-head.
Here's the game you should be paying attention to this weekend. First place in the SEC is up for grabs. It is number 14 Texas A&M hosting number 8 LSU Saturday night. And that may be a surprise to you, but A&M is 4-0 in the conference. They've won 6 straight since dropping that opener against Notre Dame. LSU has also won 6 games after losing their first one to USC. And, Mike, believe it or not, if you start to look ahead, if A&M is able to get past LSU, they could be playing in the SEC championship game.
That game with Texas at the end of the regular season is just going to be monumental. LSU's got a ton of abilities, you know, offensively. Defensively, I still think certainly give the edge to the Aggies over the Tigers as far as coming up with some stops. But LSU is on a heater, as you said.
Yeah, the A&M defense has been really good. They've recorded 7 tackles for loss in 4 consecutive games. They have been solid. They're turning teams over. And then, Mike, you look at, you know, what's going on with them as far as the run game. A&M has a dominant run game. The two things Coach Elko went in there and said, I'm going to have is a good defense and a great run game. And they have both of them. And that puts a lot of pressure on, you know, on Nussmeier to get the job done, especially if they're able to shut that run game down for LSU. So I think it's a big spot, man. I look at this game and I'm going, Georgia obviously could easily be playing in the SEC championship game. But this is two teams nobody's talking about. LSU gets past A&M. Right. They still have to beat Alabama. But all of a sudden, you don't feel as confident about Alabama as you did 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, man. A&M, very quietly, is getting the job done. And they still have some of those dudes from Jimbo's recruiting class. And Elko, you saw it at Duke. Real physicality. Real quick, if Alabama nearly lost to South Carolina at home, could they nearly lose to Missouri or get beat by Missouri at home?
Of course they can. Of course.
Coming off, and how does Kalen DeBoer handle this adversity? Everybody in Alabama is literally losing their minds. You got people talking to their cats on Feinbaum. You got all this stuff going down. It just, Missouri is a 16.5 point. Why should anyone be a 2-touchdown dog going into Tuscaloosa right now?
Well, they shouldn't, but that's just reputation.
Right. I know why, but still.
I don't buy it either. I don't think that number stands up. By the way, South Carolina ran for 243 yards on LSU and 4 scores earlier this season. A&M has a real shot to make that part of their game plan. That's a game that I'm going to be paying attention to in the SEC, especially with the dogs not playing this week. But again, you know, are we going to have an undefeated team in the SEC? It's very possible that we see that. It doesn't mean, again, both of these teams have won losses, but not within the SEC, not yet.
The undefeated Nittany Lions going to Wisconsin today, or this weekend today. Coach Franklin had to answer some questions about some players who have been charged with, or there's an investigation to sexual assault on a co-ed at Penn State, but they were dismissed from the football team. So if you read some of the headlines today, it made it sound like they were on the roster. They're not. They got kicked off back in the summer. But it's something, unfortunately for Franklin, he had to deal with at Vanderbilt, which of course will get people saying stuff, which doesn't connect one to the other. There's lots and lots of players under scholarship. But either way, bad look for Penn State, but it was taken care of before the season began.
All right, guys, 404-726-0929. You can always hit us up. That is our text line as well here on Dukes and Bell, and follow us on social media. Coming up, we're going to hear from Kirby Smart and a few of the things he had to say, not only about the Texas game, but also, you know, just a glimpse into kind of turning the page and looking forward to Florida, Mike. This game, I'm talking about the Florida game. Before the season, remember, we were like, oh, Florida's in trouble. Mike mentioned it. They're playing a lot better. And listen.
Maybe good enough to keep his job for Napier.
Correct. And Mike, this is the thing. For him, he just needs to be competitive. You don't want to get blown out 50-3. But if you're competitive and you're in this game in the fourth quarter, for Florida fans, as bad as it sounds, it's going to make you feel a lot better than where you